If yes, walk away calmly and quietly. Running away could give them pretext to detain you. Officers may try an incited reaction. Ignore them. Knowing your rights is a great first step.
And asserting your rights is even better.
The Birchmere presents Arturo Sandoval, September 28th. The Whispers, on October 10th and 11th. And Keiko Matsui, November 2nd. Details at birchmere.com.
At 89.3 FM, this is member supported WPFW Washington.
Eisenberg, joining you on this Monday, September 29th. We have a very special show in store for you this hour, dedicated to Ashada Shakur, revolutionary Shiro. We have a number of people who are going to be talking about her, who work closely with her. I will introduce them in a moment. But we are going to start out with a very special poem written by our own Fahima Sek, who is part of the WPFW family. The poem is called Havana Sky. It was written in response to her trip to Cuba with busboys in 2012. And she says, "Today I salute the island that provided Ashada refuge to live as a free revolutionary Black woman for more than four decades." That is, we're going to hear Fahima's poem. She can be heard once a month on What's at Stake Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. So let's hear Havana Skies.
Havana sky. It was not what I had anticipated. Telltale of orishas in plain sight, reverenced and revered in institutions of higher learning, museums, art galleries, universidad, Casa de Don Fernando Ortiz. The sacred is not secret when there is no shame in having an Africana god or goddess who manifests the same temperament of our ancestors and characteristics of our children yet to be born. Havana sky. Frozen in time without the constraints of a timeline, yet keepers of the history, good or bad, triumphant or sad, Havana sky. Today we drink Cuba Libre at the Havana Club, but first, ahora, we must pour libations to the grandmothers not here and the many compañeros not here under the Havana sky.
Thank you, Fahima Sek, and that is our introduction to this show and dedicated to Ashada Shakur. In a moment, we're going to introduce our three guests, two from all the way from New Jersey, Larry Hamm with the People's Opportunity, People's Organization for Progress, Zahid Muhammad, who worked closely to free Ashada for many years, and our own Nkechi Taifa, who also was close to Ashada. But we're going to start with an excerpt of a song by Common about, the song is called A Song for Ashada.
In the spirit. movement towards freedom for all those who have been oppressed and all those in the struggle. Yeah, yeah, check it. There were lights and sirens, gunshots fine. Cover your eyes as I describe a scene so violent. Seemed like a bad dream. She laid in the blood puddle, blood bubbled in her chest. Cold air brushed against open flesh. No room to rest. Pain consumed these breaths. Shot twice with her hands up. Police questioned, but shot before she answered. One Panther lost his life, the other ran for his. Scandalous the police were as they kicked and beat her. Comprehension, she was beyond trying to hold on to life. She thought she lived with no arm, that's what it felt like. Got to the hospital, eyes held tight. They moved the room to room, she could tell by the light. Handcuffed tight to the bed, through her skin they bit. With guns to her head, every word she got hit. Who shot the trooper, they asked her. Putting mace in her eyes, threatened to blast her. Her mind raced till things got still. Opened her eyes, realized she's next to her best friend who got killed. She got chills if they told her that's what she would be next. Hurt mixed with anger, survival was a reflex. They lied and denied visits from a lawyer. But she was building as they tried to destroy her. If it wasn't for this German nurse, they would have served the worst. I read the sister's story, knew that it deserved a verse. I wonder what would happen if that would have been me. All of this just so we could be free, so dig it, y'all.
And again, we're going to be listening to excerpts from that song for the rest of this hour. And I would now like to invite and welcome our three powerful guests who are going to be with us for the rest of the show. And I'd like each of them to briefly say their connection, your connection to Asada Shakur. We have Larry Hamm, who is a frequent guest on this show. We have two guests from New Jersey. Larry Hamm with the People's Organization for Progress. Zaid Muhammad, who has worked to liberate Asada for many years. And our own Akichi Taifa, who can be heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Roach Brown. And, of course, does much, much more as a leader in the reparations movement. And I'd like to start out with each of you briefly sharing your connection to Asada over the years. And let's start out with our own Akichi. Good morning, Akichi.
Good morning, Joni, and good morning, guests, Brother Larry Hamm and Zaid Muhammad. How y'all doing?
Good morning.
Asada Shakur was part of the movement that moved and grooved me, called the New African Independence Movement. As we all know, she was a former member of the Black Panther Party, and I then joined the Black Liberation Army, and the BLA was part of the underground part, I guess you could say, of the New African Independence Movement. Me, myself, I was always, as I write in my memoir, Black Power, Black Lawyer, I was always part of the overground, in front of the microphone, at rallies, at demonstrations. And Asada, as a result of the COINTELPRO, the FBI's one secret, quite illegal program to disrupt and destroy the movement, found that she needed to go underground. So she was part of that underground part of the movement. But the other connection I have is that as a lawyer, I represented some of the people who were indicted for the liberation of Asada Shakur. I worked with Chokwe Lumumba as part of the doing legal work for him when he was representing Dr. Mutulu Shakur, Marilyn Buck, who was a white ally that was also indicted and convicted for aiding in her liberation. I was part of the legal defense team with Marilyn Buck in the DC, what was called Capitol bombing case. I'm just saying, again, part of the New African Independence Movement, Republic of New Africa, I thought often said that Malcolm X once had a dream, and his dream was land, his dream was nationhood, and she said, his dream has become my dream. And on one of my occasions in Cuba, before she had to go deep underground because of the bounty on her head, I had the pleasure of being in her presence, I'll just say.
Wow. Okay, that's our own Nkechi Taifa. Let's jump now to Larry Hamm. Again, Larry is a frequent guest on this show. He can be also heard on our sister station, WBAI, most Fridays at 7 p.m. with Imhotep Gary Bird. And, of course, he's very much of an activist. I believe just got a special award from POP last week. So, Larry, tell us about what your connection with Asada and what she means to you and to this movement, to our country.
Good morning, Joni. Good morning, Nkechi. And good morning to Brother Baba Zaid Muhammad. Power to the people. Very glad to be on this morning. My connection to Asada Shakur is a general connection. I guess one of the reasons I'm on this program this morning is because the catastrophic capture of Asada Shakur took place in New Jersey, and the spectacular liberation of Asada Shakur took place in New Jersey. It's interesting because Asada and I are close in age, and we both came into the Black Liberation Movement at similar times. By 1971, Asada had already evolved from a political activist in the student movement, in the anti-war movement, in the Black freedom struggle, had become a member of the Black Panther Party, and close by was a leader, I believe, of the Harlem chapter of the Black Panther Party, and went on to join the Black Liberation Army. In 1973, she and her comrade Zaid Malik Shakur and Suniata Coley were stopped and confronted by the New Jersey State Police. And I have to say, the New Jersey State Police, already legendary for their racism, for their brutality, for their violation of people's constitutional rights, the capture of Asada Shakur began with that shootout there on the turnpike, on the New Jersey turnpike. She was seriously wounded, shot twice. Zaid Malik Shakur was killed, and Suniata Coley was later apprehended. And by the way, he's still alive and was recently released from prison. Asada had a number of trials, I believe six or seven. She was acquitted in all, either acquitted, mistrial, found not guilty in all but one, and that was the one for the murder of Werner Foster, who was one of the state police, who was the state policeman that was shot and killed there. And eventually, Asada was convicted, and we have to say, she was convicted by an all-white jury and convicted on when, in fact, all the evidence showed that she could not have possibly shot that officer, Foster. But she was convicted by an all-white jury, sentenced to life plus 33 years. But in 1979, she was liberated by her comrades and probably that liberation, probably the way that she was captured and the way she was liberated, you know, catapulted her into international consciousness, into, you know, the international consciousness of people around the world. And she has become a hero in the Black Liberation Movement. One of the things I want to say, another Jersey connection, you know, from the point that Asada was liberated, a bounty was placed on her head. That bounty was increased in every administration, whether Democrat or Republican. In fact, we have to note that it was under President Barack Obama that the bounty was doubled to $2 million. Mm. And I remember watching the press conference where it was announced that this was going to happen. And who was at the press conference calling for the capture of Asada and the doubling of the bounty? None other than United States Senator Robert Menendez. Mm. And it's very interesting that Asada has been victorious because she went to Cuba. She was given asylum in Cuba by the leader of the Cuban Communist Party, Fidel Castro, and was protected there for 40 years. She died in freedom. However, the people who call for her capture, Robert Menendez, he is in prison, going to serve 11 years. And his wife is going to prison, going to serve for more than 4+ years. So those are kind of some of the connections we have. And by the way, I ran against Robert Menendez for U.S. Senate in 2024. So those are some of the connections I have. And I just have to say that, you know, that the way we should honor Asada is to continue to struggle for the liberation of all our political prisoners, people like Mumia Abu-Jamal, people like Imam Jamil El-Amin, H.R.I. Brown, and many others who I'm sure Brother Baba Zaid Muhammad can talk about.
Yes. And Larry, how about you give us an introduction to Brother Zaid? See, and he'll jump in and talk for himself, but I know you work closely together.
Oh, yes. I've worked closely with Baba Zaid.
I know both investigators.
We both kind of came into the movement around the same time. I think we crossed paths first when we were both college students. He was at Rutgers University. I was at Princeton University. Yeah. And we had a statewide Black student coalition, of Black student organizations on college campuses around New Jersey. And we were fighting for the abolition of apartheid in South Africa and fighting to get our universities to divest from companies that were doing business in South Africa. But Brother Zaid, Baba Zaid Muhammad, is a longtime veteran and activist in the movement and has been longer than anyone I know personally here in New Jersey. And that's why, you know, I said we need to have him in this mix.
Yes.
He's been fighting for the liberation of our Black liberation political prisoners.
Yes, so welcome. Welcome, Zaid Muhammad.
Hey, glad to be on. Long live Asada Shakur. Free Imam Jamil, free Mumia Abu-Jamal, free Kamal Siddiqui. We dare say what's the call, free them all, and we say long live the Cuban Revolution unapologetically. Larry and I come from the land of racial profiling. You mentioned New Jersey State Police. New Jersey State Police is the mother father of racial profiling over 100 years in. And that factor, that germ coming from the Soprano State is a germ that is permeated throughout this whole national body politic in the worst way, right? And we have both been a part of the resistance to that germ. Right. And that germ is responsible for what happened on May 2nd, 1973 on the New Jersey Turnpike at Exit 9, which is the New Brunswick exit, when they were confronted and attacked by profiling New Jersey State troopers. I want to say before I get personal with this is that I had the task back in 1988 to do the first book party in the country for Asada's autobiography. I know that's going to come up in this conversation, but as that happened, I want folks to also snatch, find, and steal, and covet any way you can a companion volume that is Inadmissible Evidence by Evelyn Williams, Asada Santi, and her attorney, who will give you a full picture of Asada's humanity on top of her own narrative, and give you a full picture of the actual evidence of what happened on Exit 9. And it's a very kind of story that will be played out in the media in their continued barrage of misnaming her as Joanne Chesimard, cop killer, when she ain't killed nobody. So I'll stop there and let the conversation flow as it's meant to flow.
Okay. And I just want to jump in and share another New Jersey connection. Well, actually, two. I wasn't going to share this at first, but I'm actually born and raised, or not raised, but I was born in New Jersey and later moved to New York. And I moved to New York City in the same community that Asada Shakur lived when she was a young person. And because of that, I identify, because I know that community, as are most communities in this country, deeply racist. And the fact that she and I grew up, at least for part of her youth, in the same place made me kind of proud. And it was interesting to me as well. But I also want to give a shout out to another close friend of mine who is from New Jersey, Adora Iris Lee. I don't know, Zaid, if you may know her, but she left and came to D.C. in the early 80s. She named her daughter Ashada. Of course, her daughter is still very much with us. And so I was always so proud and thankful to know Adora that she named that young baby Ashada. So again, you are listening to WPFW 89.3 FM. This is me, Joni, with To Heal DC. We're dedicating the hour to Asada, and maybe we'll take a quick break now for the next piece of that song, a song for Asada Secure. If Mikey is ready for it.
Carolina, her grandmother would bring news that she had a dream. Her dreams always meant what they needed them to mean. What made them real was the action in between. She dreamt that Asada was free in their own house in Queens. The fact that they always came true was the thing. Asada had been convicted of a murder she couldn't have done. Medical evidence shown she couldn't have shot the gun. It's time for her to see the sun from the other side. Time for a daughter to be by her mother's side. Time for this beautiful woman to become soft again. Time for her to breathe and not be told how or when. She untangled the chains and escaped the pain. How she broke out of prison, I could never explain. And even to this day, they try to get to her, but she's free with political asylum in Cuba.
So let's spend a little time talking about Asada before she spent her last 4 decades in the island of Cuba. I'm going to go back to Zaid as well to continue the discussion. Share with us some of the organizing that took place between, let's say, 1979 or when she was, before she was sent to Cuba, before she was able to escape to Cuba. Tell us what some of the organizing that was going on, and perhaps in Kichi as well, just in support of Asada.
And Kichi should actually do that first, because my entry to Asada comes really in the mid-80s.
Right? Oh, okay.
When I started doing political prisoner work. So she's got a longer handle on the earlier organizing than I do.
Okay. And Kichi?
Well, I would just say the public organizing was organizing with the Black Panther Party in terms of the free breakfast program, the free health clinics and things along those lines. But what began to happen is because of the COINTELPRO, FBI's counterintelligence program, they found they could not continue organizing and mobilizing in the public like that, along those lines. So they, which she tells about it in her book, Asada, they basically went underground. And I just want to just share, there's a lot of allure about Asada, out there. And I'm really glad to see the outpourings of support. I mean, the outpourings of the like. But people need to realize the impact of the COINTELPRO on organizing. And part of a poem I did, and actually I I read it in 1979. It was the day after, it was at the one of you all probably were there at the Harlem State office building. There was this big international black human rights, whatever, whatever. And I said, COINTELPRO's got blacks in hell. They open up our mail, tap our phones and kick our bones and railroad us to jails. Mm. Angela Davis, Reverend Ben Chavis, Brother Mari and Asata too, Rochelle McGee all wanted to be free from you know who. And it goes on and it talks about the New Jersey Turnpike, Zaid, you know, and the like. But once the people who were organizing found they could not do it uninterrupted by the police and the FBI, they went underground. And some of the things I would say, some of the things that might put information and belief that the underground was part of was sending money to Zimbabwe, to Frelimo, in terms of the freedom liberation struggles going on in Southern Africa. Upon information and belief, there were, and I'm not speaking of facade, I'm just speaking general, expropriations. We will not call them bank robberies, they call them expropriations to help with financing various movements and the like. Dr. Mutulu Shakur was convicted of the Brinks expropriation in New York. This was in that expropriation happened in 1981. That was after Asada had already been liberated. But one thing I want to say, and then I'm going to turn it over to my brothers, things do not happen in a vacuum. And if it weren't for a support network of names we will never know, you know, other than those who were convicted and are now ancestors themselves, that were part of that network and assured her safety and her freedom. Yes. And I will say, because of racial profiling, if there had not been racial profiling, Asada might not be free. And I say that because during her liberation from prison, the police were looking for a black man driving a van. And it wasn't black men driving the van. It was white women driving the van. The black men were there, but they weren't the ones out front because they knew, because of racial profiling, they were the ones that would be being targeted. So it was a multi-ethnic, I guess you could say, network of persons, some of whom I helped to represent years and years later, that ensured her liberation and her safe passage to Cuba.
Thank you, Kichi. That was an important contribution. I just want to jump in real quick and say, and you mentioned Dr. Mutulu Shakur, I want to give a shout out both to Kokai Patterson, who worked, was very close to Dr. Mutulu Shakur, but also Harriet's Wildest Dreams. Kokai, together with Harriet's Wildest Dreams and Free DC, had, I think, at least two or three special gatherings, I believe, close to the Anacostia River, in tribute to Asada over the weekend. And it was very moving, especially to see the young sisters talking about Asada, the sisters that are in their 20s and 30s who is very moved by Asada. They would have been with us today, but they are part of Free DC. They are in the leadership of Free DC. And today, Free DC is in Congress. They're working in the Hart Senate office building. They invite people to come join them. They'll be there from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., which is why they couldn't join us. And they're fighting to block the 13 bills that are attacking D.C. and to reject 20 and more budget riders that freeze D.C.'s funds. So they encourage folks to join them today from 9 a.m. again to 4 p.m. at the Senate Office Building, 120 Constitution Avenue, Northeast. So they are with us as young sisters in spirit, but they couldn't join us today. So let's jump back to the discussion. Zaid, you want to go, or you want Larry to
Let me just add several things to what Nkechi said that are important to appreciate about Asada. Asada was in the New York chapter of the Black Panther Party. And there were three chapters that the government was especially obsessed with. New York, Chicago, which happened to be the largest chapter, by the way, right? And the Oakland and L.A. chapters on the West Coast, because they were considered the founding chapters, right? New York, of course, because of its strategic location, could have influence that would could be exponential just by virtue of where it was. So they were obsessed with taking down the New York chapter like few others. And the it all comes to a head with the legendary Panther 21 trial, where 21 members of the Black Panther Party were rounded up and charged with conspiracy to do a number of things, from blowing up botanical gardens and the like. Very bizarre charges. But had they stuck, all 21 of those defendants would have faced life plus sentences just by virtue of how conspiracy charges were put together back in those days. The fact that the party, by virtue of its impact, beat those charges just accelerated the COINTELPRO operation. There was a number of operations called Operation New Kill that specifically focused on targeting members of the Black Panther Party. And not just party leaders either. You know, Asada was not a leader in the party. She was ranking, for the most part, very much rank and file. But a good Panther, though she was, she found herself being targeted herself. And they came up with an operation coming after her simply called Operation Chess Rob, right? We can't make this stuff up. It's all in the air. It's all in the air now, right? And it's been in the air for some time. And it's something that we need to appreciate. One thing I will say about Asada that she was doing herself that is critically important to this moment. 1969, which happened to be the party's bloodiest year, right? 28 Panthers were killed by the police in police raids in that year. The Black Panther Party called for a national united front against fascism. That sounds familiar, right? And they created what was called national committees to combat fascism. We had two political prisoners literally die in prison in Omaha, the Omaha Two, from doing that work. Mondo Walanga and Ed Poindexter. Ed did 51 years in prison before he died in prison. That's how serious the government took that. Asada did NCCF work. She did a committee in this area in New York City. And if anything is applicable to this particular historical moment, it was that edge intentionality of the Black Panther Party taking on another fascist in the White House. Some of us old enough to remember Richard Nixon, Nixon's behind, right? Who left the office in disgrace, right? But who was a monster in terms of abusing some of everybody's rights when he was around doing what he did. So Asada, you know, her repression, her struggle with repression came from doing very timely work, timely for our people then, timely for the people now, for sure. So I definitely wanted to get that in. And then let me just say this, too, because I know we're up against the clock, is that I really want people to appreciate the plight and the fight to have Kamal Siddiqui released. Kamal Siddiqui is a comrade and the father of their only child, Kikuyu Shakur, right? And he was framed for a police murder in Atlanta that took place in 1970 only because he would not cooperate with the feds to try and reel her in into a trap the way they approached him to do that some years later. So I just, you know, and there's a new... In addition to Harriet's daughters, there's a new formation of struggle around Cuba solidarity, similarly built to Harriet's daughters, called Carlotta's Cubs. Carlotta was an Afro-Cuban ancestor who led a slave uprising in Cuba in 1843. And when Cuba went to Angola to combat South Africa on the ground in battle, that was called Operation Carlotta. So her name has been lifted up. And now, right now, Cuba is recruiting for its internationally famous medical school, Elam, and there's a project to recruit students right here from these United States who are now known as Carlotta's Cubs. All this is in the flow of all this work.
Wow, I'm glad you shared all that. And we, over the years, I used to always have the people who were recruiting doctors, potential doctors in the D.C. area and in the country. And we were able to get some people who went to the Cuban medical school. So we're going to have to pick that up and do it again. So who wants to jump in next? Larry, you want to?
Yes. Yes, I'll jump in. Let me just say a couple of things. And first of all, thank Nkechi and Zaid for their very informative comments. I learn as I sit here. my learning never ends, you know. I'm learning more and more, and that's because I'm surrounded by very knowledgeable people. But one of the things, first of all, I want to point out was that Assata Shakur was a revolutionary. And, you know, there's a tendency when our revolutionaries die, their revolutionary edge is sort of blunted. And I don't want that to happen. And I don't think it's going to happen because of the revolutionary tradition out of which Assata Shakur comes, the Black Panther Party, the Black Liberation Army. You know, but I've already, you know, seen assessments of her life, and she's described as a political activist. You know, that political activist would probably be an apropos description for Larry Ham, you know, but not for Assata Shakur. Assata Shakur was a revolutionary. She wanted to overthrow this racist, capitalist, sexist, imperialist system that we live under. And she was actively engaged in the work to do that. It wasn't just words. I mean, there was a reason why she wanted to go underground. As Nkechi pointed out, she and other folks in the Black Panther Party, Black Liberation Army, and other organizations had been targeted by COINTELPRO. And what was the purpose of the COINTELPRO program, the counterintelligence program? It was to disorient and destroy the Black Liberation Movement. That was its stated aim, and to prevent the rise of a quote unquote Black Messiah, or somebody who could lead, you know, all factions of the Black freedom struggle and the Black liberation struggle. But Assata Shakur was a revolutionary. The second thing is to underscore what Nkechi and Zaid said, we cannot forget the people. We don't know their names, and we shouldn't know their names, but their work should be acknowledged. Assata was liberated. She was liberated by a whole network of folks who liberated her, who protected her after liberation while she was still in the country, and who continued their efforts to get her out of the country and into safe harbor under asylum granted by Fidel Castro and the Cuban Communist Party of Cuba. And we must acknowledge the role of Cuba and the historical relationship between the Cuban Revolution and the Black Liberation Movement. And Zaid can speak to this extensively. We all know that Fidel and Malcolm X met at the Therese Hotel in Harlem. We all know how Fidel Castro and the party sent tens of thousands of combatants to Angola to confront the South African army. There would have been no liberation of South Africa, no overthrow of the apartheid regime, had it not been for the Cuban troops that went to Angola and fought the South African army, which was supposed to be at that time the most powerful army on the South African continent, and defeated them, particularly at the Battle of Cuito Carnaval. We should reciprocate the support that Cuba has given to the Black liberation struggle at home and abroad by demanding an end to the economic blockade by the United States against Cuba. And it's a blockade that's wreaking havoc, that has wreaked havoc and caused hardship on the Cuban people. And we should continue to fight to lift that blockade and maybe more handedly, you know, make sure, do everything we can to prevent war, because, you know, Trump has dispatched nuclear submarine and troops to the Caribbean. They've blown up ships in Venezuela. I think they're targeting Venezuela, and I think they're targeting Cuba. Mm-hmm. So we should do all we can to protect the Cuban people, lift that embargo and ensure that there's no war against them. But more recently, I read this morning, very disturbing, that Kash Patel, who is the who is Trump's head of the FBI, has said that we should not mourn Assata Shakur. Mm. Who the hell is Kash Patel to tell us?
Not that, just that we should not
mourn.
That he's going to go after everyone who is Assata Shakur. Mm. The FBI is going to go after. Can you believe that hypocrisy? Yes. We won't even mention that Charlie Kirk guy, you know. Mm. I'm sorry.
Right. They want to have no. I'm glad. It's enraging, isn't it? You couldn't hold yourself back as soon as I said it, because it's enraging. The House just voted to have a national day of remembrance for Charlie Kirk, a known racist. A known Islamophobe, homophobe, on and on and on. They want to have a national day of a person who said that Black women didn't have the intellectual capacity to process information. They're going to have a national day of remembrance for him and going to tell us
on George Floyd's birthday.
That we can't honor our freedom fighters. To hell with Kash Patel. And I also have to say something about our governor here in New Jersey. And it's interesting, even in death, Assata Shakur's struggle continues. Our governor here in New Jersey, Governor Murphy, said that he's going to do everything. Zaid Murphy said that he's going to do everything in his power to prevent Assata's body, her remains, from being repatriated to the United States. How wicked can you be that they are so enraged that they could not recapture her and kill her that now they're going to say, well, we won't even let her be buried here in the land where she was born. I mean, we really have to stand up and speak out against this.
So I'm going to add something. We talked about Congress. I was at the Congressional Black Caucus breakfast and dinner over this weekend. And at both of those events, I was actually shocked, very pleasantly shocked, I will say, that Assata was included in the in memoriam up on the big screen with her huge picture and her scenes and all like that as a remembrance, along with all the other people that they, but the fact that she was added, and actually it was at the last minute because she had just, her death had just been reported a day and a half earlier. But I will say, I do recall vividly in 1998 when there was a congressional resolution for the extradition of Assata Shakur back to the United States to face charges. And there were, unfortunately, some members of the Congressional Black Caucus who supported that filthy resolution. But there were members of the Black Caucus who did not. So, you know, we have a mixed bag up there in Congress. But they did take the step of including her on the big screen in front of all those Negro politicians, Assata Shakur. So that did bring a smile to my face.
It was a surprise. And I have to go in there, and just to give that another layer and another, some more detail, that Christine Whitman went to CBC and asked for that. right? Mm-hmm. And we always said that, you know, and their excuse was that we didn't know that they were talking about Asada because they used Joanne Chesmart. In fact, it hurt me to have to protest a local member of Congress at the time because
when
he was on trial, he was very exemplary. And that was the late, great Donald Payne. When Asada was captured, Donald Payne, then Councilman Donald Payne, came up with a study of the jury process in New Jersey and said the only place where Asada can have a jury of her peers would have been in Essex County, the greater Newark area, right? And the fact that he did not, at that particular critical moment, identify where Whitman was coming from and warn his colleagues in the Congressional Black Caucus, I thought was a betrayal of what he had done early. And I had to actually do a rally in front of his office around that time. And out of that, by the way, right, this is as the school of medicine is being constructed. Fidel said, bring me the CBC, right? The CBC was brought to Cuba to see Cuba firsthand for themselves. And Fidel showed them how Cuba really gets down. And that's when you started getting students, black and brown students from the poorest cities
in
the United States into that school.
Absolutely.
That's an answer to that question to clean up that mess.
And absolutely. And we certainly have a lot to learn, to put it mildly, about Cuban's healthcare system, which is by far much more excellent than our system, which is getting worse each and every day. We're almost out of time. We're going to have time for each of you to give your last comment. I just wanted to make a quote, a well-known quote from Asada. It is our duty to fight for freedom. It is our duty to win. We must love each other and support each other. We have nothing to lose but our chains. Asada Shakur. So let's have each of you give your final thoughts. We have about 6 minutes left or so. Larry, you want to start? You each have maybe about a minute or so to give your final statement about Asada for today.
Yes. Again, first, let me say my condolences, my heartfelt, deepest sympathies to Asada's daughter and her family on the passing of her mother and family member. She has joined the ancestors. She has joined all the freedom fighters that have gone before her. And I want to say once more, the best way to honor her is to continue her work, to continue the struggle. She was, as well as in line with being a Black revolutionary, she was a foremost advocate of self-determination for Black people and for liberation for Black people. And we need to continue to build, to revitalize, to strengthen the Black liberation movement, and especially the struggle to free those remaining political prisoners, including Mumia Abu-Jamal, Imam Jamil El-Amin, and as Zaid said, Kamal Siddiqui. And we should work to lift that blockade against Cuba.
Okay, let me just real quick say, and then we'll still have a little time for final statements. I want to thank Magic Mike, our wonderful engineer, who provides essential help to each and every one of us every day, every morning. I also want to ask you to stay tuned at 11 o'clock for Mark Thompson, Make It Plain. And thank you all for listening. Nkechi, if you have a quick final word.
I just want to say that the bold, successful liberation of Asada Shakur on a modern day Underground Railroad touched my soul as one of the most daring revolutionary actions imaginable. And I just want to say that folk, if you would, I mentioned Asada many times in my memoir, you know, many, many times, because she was part of the movement. And if folk want to know a little bit about the movement that touched Asada Shakur's life, you can check out my memoir, Black Power, Black Lawyer, My Audacious Quest for Justice. And that movement was and is the New African Independence Movement. And I just want to give shout out to Suniata Okoli, her co-defendant, Sekou Odinga, who just recently passed, Dr. Matulu Shakur, who just recently passed, and the so many nameless others that we will never know their names, or at least not speak their names, who were part of that network for her liberation. That's it.
Yes, and I think Asada's autobiography is hard to find these days. It's every bookstore I've tried. Okay, well, you can, if you know a bookstore, I know one I'm going to check. Maybe International Publishers has it, but the bookstores around here do not have it so far that I could find.
Be online, I'm sure it is.
Okay, well, I'm not going to get it from Amazon, that's for sure. But let's.
Thank you for that.
Okay, Zaid, you got the last word for us this morning.
She came to us on July 16th, the birth anniversary of Ida B. Wells. Mm-hmm. Another black woman who lived with a price on her head for exposing the crime of lynching, and which was, you know, one of our confrontations with American genocide from our own struggle. She leaves us on the anniversary of one of her comrades who was a founder of the New African Independence Movement, was one of my teachers, Ahmed Obafemi. And on the anniversary of the transition of the founding chair of our organization, the Malcolm X Commemoration Committee, who was none other than Herman Ferguson. And I send my love to Kikuyu, my love to Kasise. Kasise is Kamau's other daughter who's working hard for Kamau's release. We have a parole bid out for him now, and we want folks to, you know, look for the work of the International Committee to free Kamau Siddiqui. Right. And that's the direct tie to Asada that merits very tactical help at this particular moment. And let us remember, too, that Imam Jamil El-Amin is terminally ill, fighting tooth and nail to clear his name when everybody knows who Otis Jackson is, the confessed person who took out this deputy from the Fulton County law enforcement community that was put on Imam Jamil's head. And I should say, Imam Jamil, Kamau Siddiqui, both railroaded by the same judge, Stephanie Bannis, in the so-called New South.
Right? And the same
free
system.
Free them all.
Long yes, and all. One thing, as a
revolution. Yes, ma'am, I'm sorry.
Do you know of any services or anything happening in Cuba in honor of
Not yet.
But stay tuned. Yes, stay tuned. Okay, thank you so much. And Kichi, Zaid, and
Joni, could I say something real quick?
Yes.
Everybody, support this station. Make a donation.
Public station.
No, I'm serious. This is the only station in the D.C. area where we could come on and talk unfiltered, uncensored about Asada Shakur. Y'all need to support this station and keep it alive, so that it can continue to be a beacon for our movement.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Larry. And I'm sure that there are going to be other tributes to Asada in the days and weeks to come. Our pledge drive does start on October 12th and goes through October 25th. But of course, you can make a contribution before then. Just check out our website. But we definitely need your support. And of course, as the money goes to many things, including people's salaries here, we want to give some of our workers a raise, with a well-deserved raise. So thank you.
Programmers don't get anything. Well, yeah. Joni is a volunteer, right?
Yeah, we all volunteers. But Mikey, for example, is a paid staff person. Right. Paid staff paid peanuts. Right. So they need to get paid more. We need to help them. Thank you to everybody. And we will continue to keep Asada Shakur in our hearts forever. So let's hear the rest of that song that we heard earlier by Common, a song for Asada.
So about freedom. Asking me about freedom. I'll be honest with you. I know a whole lot more about what freedom isn't than about what it is. Because I've never been free. I can only share my vision with you for the future about what freedom is. The way I see it, freedom is the right to grow. It's the right to blossom. Freedom is the right to be yourself.
WPFW has offered inspiring music, poignant stories, and critical journalism for over 48 years. Whether reminiscing while hearing Nina Simone or learning about the harm done due to gross global inequity, WPFW has been the soundtrack for moments of revelation, joy, sadness, and resistance. It's your generosity that allows us to continue this tradition of expansive, emancipatory excellence in community radio. We ask you to once again be in solidarity with WPFW during our fall pledge drive by donating at WPFWFM.org and additionally from October 12th through the 25th at 800-222-9739. There is only one WPFW and only one you, the listener, who is committed to keeping independent music and message available to the people. Your generosity sustains and challenges us to build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
On Tuesday, October 7th, 5 a.m. until midnight, WPFW presents What Breaks the Heart, joining millions around the world and marking 2 years of genocide in Gaza. Through interviews, stories and poetry, the day programming will reflect the cultural and political concept of Palestinian Sumud, highlighting the enduring presence, resistance and connection of the Palestinian people to their land. That's What Breaks the Heart, commemorating 2 years of genocide in Gaza. Tuesday, October 7th, 5 a.m. until midnight on WPFW, building a more compassionate world, one broadcast at a time.
The Can I Kick It outdoor summer movie series presented by Shaolin Jazz is back and is coming to Southeast DC for the first time ever. Enjoy 3 nights of martial arts and action films scored live with hip-hop, soul, and more, mixed by WPFW alum DJ Two Tone Jones. Then on Saturday, October 25th, the series concludes with the screening of I'm Gonna Get You Sucker at the Capitol Hill Boys Club Artist Gallery. Each event begins at 7 p.m. with a guest DJ set, followed by the movie at 8:30 p.m. Blankets and lawn chairs are welcome. For more details, visit shaolinjazz.com. shaolinjazz.com.
Part 2 of the 2025 Homeroom Music Festival is Saturday, October 4th at the Aletha Tanner Park in Effington. The celebration continues with a day of music and culture featuring Junkyard Band, Brandon Woody, plus performances showcasing Latin rhythms and African beats. The festival also brings together live DJ sets, record fair, vendors, community activities for all ages. Details at homeroommusicfestival.com.
The Birchmere presents Arturo Sandoval, September 28th, The Whispers on October 10th and 11th, and Keiko Matsui, November 2nd. Details at birchmere.com.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, asking you to support WPFW. We ask you, please, to go to the website and make a pledge, maybe $47 or $470 if you can, or $47 a month, to WPFW.org. Hey, if you want to get dinner and a show in New York, if you want to bring a guest with you, maybe your partner or daughter or son, a friend you want to meet up with in New York, watch the broadcast of Democracy Now! Live, 8 in the morning, sit on the set as we broadcast on over 1,000 stations, and then I get to personally host you you for a meal, and we will toast WPFW. And it is an amazing time. We call it dinner and a show. You and your special guest. That's a $2,000 tax-deductible charitable contribution that goes directly to WPFW. Go online at WPFW.org